Are you tired of spending your time and money chasing strategy after strategy only to discover what worked 10, 5, or even 2 years ago is not working now? Things shift fast in the online space, and if you're not keeping up, you're getting left behind. It's time for something different. Welcome to the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast, where every single episode will be jam-packed with proven, profitable strategies, behind-the-scenes secrets, and what's working now resources from industry experts and global influencers to help you scale your business, shorten your learning curve, and stand out in a crowded, noisy marketplace. And now, your host, award-winning marketing and media strategist and international speaker, Patty Farmer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast. I'm your host, Patty Farmer, and I'm looking forward to sharing today's industry expert with you. Today, we're going to shake it up a little bit. And today, we're going to talk about mastering the midlife and mindset shift that comes with transitioning from corporate to being an entrepreneur. And I know there's a lot of you out there who have made that shift, some probably more successful than others. But today we're going to have somebody who has mastered it and can help you master it too. So let me tell you a little bit about her. So Kathy Grasset is a business coach, speaker, and leader specializing in career reinvention, business growth, and money mastery after a long corporate career. After a successful 20-year corporate career in IT, she had trouble adjusting to life as an entrepreneur and realized her lingering corporate identity was limiting her potential, including the way she thought about money. Kathy now teaches clients her strategy for shedding the corporate layers that are holding them back, rediscovering themselves, and creating a simple but lucrative business model that will power them into exciting new levels of income. Her mission is to help her clients surpass their corporate success by making a lot more money with a lot less effort in a way that is powerfully authentic to them. And I have to say, I absolutely love that. Thank you so much, Kathy, for being here with me today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You know, I think that a lot of times people think about their journey to how they became an entrepreneur. And for most people, or at least most people that I have ever spoken to in my 25-year career, they came from a job. Now, what's really funny is if you work for corporate, technically that is a job, right? But yet we think of it as a career. And so when we're thinking about that, I don't think we always talk or listen to what that transition was really like for them, like how hard it could have been for them, really, because A, they either had a position that held a lot of power, but maybe they weren't fulfilled. Maybe if it was a woman, she was working in the whole good old boys club.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she didn't feel like she could contribute more, but she didn't have a voice. And maybe she just felt like she'd hit the wall and couldn't go any further. And she was just, what do I do now? And maybe, just maybe, she was feeling a prompting that she just didn't want to have a career. She really wanted to work for herself. So I love the fact that you're going to talk about that today, because I think there's a lot of people out there, and specifically a lot of women, where this is exactly where they are and they just don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I really love this. And I love that you did have a 20-year corporate career. So before we actually go into all the fabulous ways that you can help people and what you've seen and your insights and perspective, why don't you tell us a little bit about your story? Because when we were reading here, I really liked the part. Well, I don't know if I really liked it, but I liked it because I know where you are now. So it's not like, oh, I like that you went through that. But really, I think really limiting your potential, right? And how it really affects how we think about money.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are huge, huge things. So can you share a little bit of your story and really what made you be bold enough to make the move because you knew there was something more?
Yeah. So I was one of those that started in corporate right out of college. Like back then, there was no such thing as gap years and trying to go find yourself. You jumped right into your career, your job, your career. And that's what I did. So I started in corporate right out of college, worked my way up the ladder. I've always worked in technology. I only had two jobs. My first was for only 2.5 years. And then I spent the other 18 years with the Walt Disney Company, which is pretty exciting. But like so many people, I grew up, right? When I was in my 20s, that's why my career was everything. That's what I wanted. I wanted it all. I wanted to go as high, as fast as I could. But you know, life happens along the way. And I got married and I had 3 kids and I got older and your priorities change. And there were multiple things that all kind of came to a head in my late 30s, as I was approaching 40, that really was like, oh, this is just not right. It's that balance between work and family that just wasn't doing it for me. It was the corporate culture. We were in a position where there was a lot of outsourcing going on. And then the culture of the organization just shifted because it was no longer people that were a lot of the direct employees of the company. There were people coming in that were outsiders and didn't share the same passion. And so it was the culture of the company had shifted. And I was getting really tired of not having my personal life and well-being valued. It was how much can you produce and how late can you work and how much can you shove in and just all of those things. Like for so many other people, it just created that storm. And I was in this spiral that I was just falling deeper and deeper. You know, I was starting to get depressed. My health was declining. And I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. And when I started looking for what I wanted to do, of course, I started looked at the job postings. Where else would I go? And every time I saw a job posting for a similar role, but somewhere else, I was like, it's going to be the same thing there too. I'm just going to shift the problems to another company. And that's when it started clicking that, well, maybe I just need to get out of this industry. I need to get out of this environment. I need to get out of this industry. I need to get out of this career and start something totally different. And that's when I set my plan in motion.
I really love that because I think a lot of times somebody can even work in a company and the company is fabulous, right? Yes. And they love it and they grow and they're heard and they're inspired. But then the company gets sold. And like you said, new people come in, they bring their people with them. And all of a sudden, you're not really being heard. You're not really being valued. Right now, they're like, oh, well, you kind of came with the package and we were told we had to keep the top 10 for 2 years because it's in our contract or whatever the case may be. And the culture changes, right? Because mm-hmm. we talk about culture all the time now. And we are always talking about certain companies that have really, really great culture and what that looks like. In the last few years, even more so, we're talking about it. But I think that not everybody wants to be an entrepreneur either, right?
You exactly. know,
I mean, we think that's the end all be all as an entrepreneur. We think, oh, well, why wouldn't everybody want to be an entrepreneur? But the reality is not everybody has the discipline or wants to do it, right? So everybody has the thing that's right for them, even if they don't know what that is, right? I have a very, very good friend, actually the sponsor of our podcast, who literally does franchising. And what she does is help people figure out what mm-hmm. it is, which franchise is the right one for them, whether they want to do it full-time, part-time, or just want a revenue stream. So I think there's a lot of different options and a lot more options that are available to us now that have never been available to us before. And that is a good thing. But with that said, going back to here you are in a corporate career leads me to a story. One time this girl came to me and she said, Patty, I really want to hire you. My husband let me take the last year off. Her best friend had been killed in a domestic violence kind of thing, and she didn't have to defend herself. Mm-hmm. And she went off on this year thing of learning all about self-defense for women and all kinds of stuff. And she really wanted to serve in that way. And her husband told her that she had a year to do it, to replace her income. But if she did it, she was going to have to go back to work. By the time she came to me, she was like 9 months into that year. Mm-hmm. And she's like, Patty, like, this is like what I need to do. And I cannot go back to a job. I just can't do it. And I think the thing that's so interesting, and you kind of touched on it, but I would like to touch on it a little bit more when we're talking about shifting, right? Is that sometimes we may not be feeling fulfilled or happy, but what I think we don't always realize is that all of those headaches we're getting, the stomach aches, maybe the some of the literally physical ailments we have are actually coming from that. We don't know why. Oh, why all of a sudden am I having these problems and I'm having these problems and I can't sleep at night and I've gained 40 pounds and or I've lost 20 pounds, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. A lot of things that happen and how it shows up because we just don't realize where the change really needs to happen. Where do we really need to shift? So I really feel that the ability for people, like I said, specifically women, to walk away from corporate and know that they have another option, I think is really important. And I know one of the things that you really do is you actually teach people what's that shift in your mindset and your habits, right? Mm-hmm. And I know that's why I wanted you to come on today, because I know you have some ways to do that. But what I always like to talk about what not to do and some of the things first, because I think it's important. But what would you say is probably the biggest myth or mistake, make your choice, myth or mistake that you see people do before they make the shift? Like when they're thinking about the shift, they haven't done it. Like we have these beliefs that we tell ourselves, we have these mindsets, these beliefs we keep telling ourselves all the time of why we don't do it. We're so unhappy, but some people stay for 10 years before they make the move, right? And it's a story that we're telling ourselves. What are some of the most common stories or myths that you seem to hear, since this is your expertise, over and over and over again?
Well, there's so many, but let's start with the first one, in that it's something that most women don't realize until after they've made the leap. And it would be so beneficial if they started this work a lot sooner. And what I say to people is that corporate suppresses the real you. So when you get out of corporate, especially for those women who have been in there for 20 years or more, have climbed really high levels, you are deeply integrated with that persona, that corporate persona. Your ego is associated with your status as the VP, the CEO, the whatever you ended up reaching. And it is very, very tough to shift from that persona to an entrepreneurial persona. And part of that is because if you've been in corporate for so long, you are essentially molded and fabricated into the person you need to be successful in that type of environment. And it doesn't matter what the real you is or how you are in real life. You have to be a certain way to be successful in corporate. For an example, I am an extreme introvert. It doesn't bode well for someone in a corporate position that has to work with global teams, lots of them, and be in a lot of meetings, and it doesn't work well for an introvert. But I force myself to be the extrovert without realizing it. And that's just one example. But corporate adds all these layers on you to help you survive and succeed in that type of environment. And then when you leave, those layers are still there. So essentially, you have these women leaving corporate after 20 years saying, who the hell am I? Right? Who am I if I'm not VP of marketing? Who am I if I'm not the director of sales? Who am I? I don't know who I am anymore. And that's because you've been suppressing the real person that you've always been. And if you don't figure that out, if you don't get to the root and peel back those layers and rediscover who you really are, then everything you do in your business going forward, you could get all the right pieces in place, you could do all the right things. But if you don't get back to the real you and you're still operating from that corporate persona, which you've built to succeed in that environment, then everything is going to feel off. It may feel blatantly off and you know that's what's wrong. It may feel subtly off and you just can't put your finger on it. But nothing you do is going to feel right because you're still operating from that persona. And you have to peel back those layers and do some digging and get back to the real you. And unfortunately, no one thinks of doing that sort of thing, right? That's not something you wake up in the morning and say, oh, I got to peel back my corporate layers, right? But you realize it after the fact is, oh my gosh, who am I if I'm not this? And then they spend a lot of time trying to figure that out, which stalls your business growth because you have to kind of go back to figure those things out. And it's so important to figure it out because, again, everything is going to feel out of alignment and disconnected, incongruent, because you're aligning with the wrong version of you, right?
I think that is so true. And also, I think that even if you were successful in the corporate world and for whatever reason decided to leave, culture in a corporate work setting is not the same as building a culture in the entrepreneurial world. It's a totally different thing. I've been in both. I speak to both. I do a lot of training in both worlds, and it is not the same, right?
Right.
You know, culture, it's not culture is culture is culture. No, there are all different kinds of culture and you have to build them. Some of them you walk into, the culture is already built. When you decide to open a business, you're creating the culture, deciding what kind of culture it is. And then it's up to you to start with that culture. It could shift if you're not on top of it, and kind of like your brand. You don't get to decide your brand. Your customer decides your brand, right? But it is subtle, but it is important to really make sure that you create that culture. Because I know for me, when I was in the corporate world, and then when I owned my own company that was brick and mortar with employees, we had a great culture. We had such a great culture. But when I moved to the entrepreneurial world, and all of a sudden, most of your people aren't even in the building with you, and you have this virtual team. Man, was it hard. I had the first 2 years, I went through so many people and had such a turnover. I couldn't figure out why they couldn't work together, why I was spending so many times babysitting. I felt like a firefighter, and all I did every day when I went to work was put out fires. And, and so I had all these things. I couldn't figure it out because I was like, wow, it worked so good in my business before. So I think that there are different things, right? So what would you say about your corporate experiences can negatively affect your business, right? If you don't know how to do it right, it can negatively affect your business, because what will happen, I don't know if it always happens, but it seems like it would, but you're the expert, that if this is where you had your business and you decide to leave, you're going to start your business and you're going to do a lot of those things exactly the same way, because that's all you know. And they worked. Even if you weren't happy, they did work and they got the job done, even if you didn't like it, right?
Yep.
So you have to know. So really, honestly, you said to me that corporate suppresses the real you. I think that's a powerful statement. So could you kind of talk a little bit more about that? I know you were talking about layers, but what did you mean by that corporate suppresses the real you?
Well, one of the examples I gave is that I'm an extreme introvert, and I was forcing myself for over 20 years to operate in an environment that doesn't reward introversion. So that's just one aspect. But the other, and it sounds really counterintuitive, I know, but you had mentioned the money, how we think and engage with money. That's another aspect. And like I said, it sounds really counterintuitive, because if you ask women who are coming from corporate and making six figures plus, and maybe they manage multimillion dollar budgets at work, you'd ask them, you think you have a problem with your money mindset? No, I make a lot of money. I work with a lot of money. I'm good. But one of the things that I've realized is that corporate actually creates a scarce money mindset. And let me explain that. This is another way where I say corporate, your corporate experience actually sabotages your business growth. Because if you think about it, when you're in corporate, you're in an environment where, let's say, your budgets keep getting cut or they don't get approved at all. Your resources keep getting taken away, right? The team members that you need to do a job, or nope, they got assigned to something else. Your income, it grows linearly over time, right? All of these little things. If you were in an environment where you get a bonus at the end of the year, there was usually a bonus pool and it was divvied up. And based on your rating, you got a portion of it, right? All of these little things have actually created a money mindset of scarcity, that money is very difficult to come by, that it can get taken away at a moment's notice, that you have to work really damn hard to get it, to earn it, right? All of these things are subconscious beliefs that you've been programmed during your corporate experience. And if you think about it, those are the exact opposite beliefs you need to have as an entrepreneur, right? You need to believe that there is money out there to be made, that there's plenty enough for everyone, and you earn or you deserve as much of it as you can get. And you don't have to work 80 hours and burn yourself out to get it. It's the exact opposite. So corporate has programmed you to think of money in a very limited, finite capacity. Whereas as an entrepreneur, you can't have that belief, or your mind is going to be telling you, no one's going to pay me for what I want to sell. There's not enough money out there. There's too much competition, right? And those are the thoughts that are going to keep you stuck. And you have to make that shift from being an employee in a corporate environment to being an entrepreneur, being your own boss. That is one of the major hangups with women, is the way they view and engage with money.
So how would you reprogram? What are some of the ways? Because really, you know, you have to reprogram or reset those money beliefs, because that's true. Because I know that when you become an entrepreneur, a lot of times people do have that problem with money. You have to have an abundance mindset, because really you have all kinds of partners out there that you can collaborate with. There's all kinds of opportunities. And if you're so scared, then that doesn't work for you. I've also seen entrepreneurs when they come from corporate and they're making that transition, they kind of want to hold their knowledge to themselves because they feel like that's how they're going to make money, right? And so they're like, oh no, somebody has to pay me for that knowledge. I only have a limited amount of knowledge. And so I have to be really careful how I dole it out. But the reality is you can always make more money. If you're willing to do the work, you can always make more money. And really it's, you have your strengths, and then there's things, I don't want to say weaknesses, that are not your strengths, but the things in the entrepreneurial world, the things that are not your strengths are where the most amount of opportunity is, because this is where you can collaborate with other people. You can get to the marketplace faster because you don't have to do it all yourself, and you get to choose, and you get to choose somebody that vibes with you, that you're in sync with, which is a little bit different. But you do have to reprogram your money beliefs. And I know that's one of the things you do. What are some of the ways that you help them to really reprogram those money beliefs?
Well, the first thing, there's a variety of ways, but one of the ways is to understand the value of their time. Because when you're in corporate, you're used to thinking of your value as a yearly salary figure. And we know that's not representative of what you're really worth. It's a number based on organizational dynamics and the whole bit. And what you need to do is to really get down to, what is your time worth per hour? Now, I don't recommend charging by the hour. So this is more of an internal number for you, but I want you to understand the value of your time. So calculate it out. I won't do the calculations here, but figure out what your time is worth per hour, because that's a very powerful number as you go about your business day to day, right? When you get started and you want an accountability buddy to talk to, right? And you take on all these accountability buddies to talk, you know, one more accountability buddy, 1 hour a week, that's however much money you value your time at. It helps influence the work you take on, the work you say no to. It's a very important number that you don't communicate to anyone. No one's supposed to know it. You don't charge by it, but it's a very powerful internal number for you to understand the value of your time by the hour, so you could influence your decisions about the workload and where you spend your time. That's one important way.
I think that's really important, because I know that a lot of times what happens is people just go look at other people's websites. What are they charging? Oh, okay, they're charging that. I can charge that too. They don't look at like, oh, maybe you've done it 10 years longer. They also don't look like maybe they did it 10 years longer and they have a couple extra degrees. I mean, there could be a lot of different reasons why that isn't really the way to value your time or your worth. But I also think that a lot of times when they are looking at that, I mean, that's really almost a sales velocity equation, right? You can do things, and in my world of marketing, I tell people all the time, yes, you may have become an entrepreneur because you wanted time freedom. But the fact of the matter is, you could give yourself all the freedom you want, but at the end of the week, there isn't anybody who's giving you a paycheck either, just because you showed up. You know, so you have to know that you also have to be able to be self-motivated.
Yes.
And I remember I did this exercise with clients sometimes where they will feel like, oh, Patty, I just worked so hard this week. I put in so many hours. I worked like a 50-hour work weekend. Like literally, I didn't make any money. Mm-hmm. And so I said, okay, good. Let's try this exercise. And so I said, let's print out this calendar that's blank. And every day I want you to think about how many calls did you have? Like, what did you do? And then in the right corner, how much money did you bring in? Because not everything you do, you get paid that day. That's right, in the entrepreneurial world. Sometimes there is a longer cycle between how you're going to get paid depending upon what you do. But at the end of the week, you really have to ask yourself, well, was it just activity or was it productivity, right? Because they're not exactly the same thing. And I think that sometimes what happens is when you're in corporate, you kind of get some bad habits sometimes too.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I mean, like, what is that whole joke about all the gossip at the water cooler? You have a lot of time that you can do that too. There's good habits and bad habits, right? Mm-hmm. We all know that, right? But what are some of the things that you have to watch out for? Because I know for me, when I first became an entrepreneur, and I still see it a lot, especially in the summer, I gave myself time freedom and I have my kids and I'm going to work less and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, wow, like now I can't do this and I can't do that because I'm not making as much money. Well, you make your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And also I've had people who had appointments with me and they'll say to me, oh, Patty, somebody called me and I needed to take care of that. And I always want to say, when you're the CEO of your company, not only do you control your time, you control your calendar.
Yes.
As well. And I think learning to control your calendar is super, super important. But we do get these work habits. And then when we go work for ourselves, we kind of bring some of them with us. So can you talk a little bit about that?
I think two of the worst ones that we take with us from corporate over into our business, the first one is busy work. We perfect the craft of busy work. And what I mean by that is just imagine you're sitting there any day of the week, it's 4 o'clock. You're wanting to get out of there pretty soon. So you don't want to start anything major because you don't want to have to stop it in the middle. So you're like, what can I do to finish out my day? Oh, let's go search the company catalog for training courses or, oh, let's do my expense report. I haven't done that, right? We master the art or the science of busy work because we have that security of a paycheck. So it doesn't matter what the hell we do at that last hour of the day, any day, or take a longer lunch, right? It doesn't matter because we know that paycheck is coming in because we're salaried employees. So we get really good at the busy work, right? The work that doesn't contribute to the goal at hand. It's work that we find on our own to fill the time. So that's one is the busy work because we get really good at it. And we take it with us into our business. The other one is probably the worst of the two is the overworking. Again, we are in a competitive corporate environment. We're competing for the bonuses at the end of the year. We're competing to have the best ratings. We're competing to be the in our boss's minds, the one that's the best, the one that, right? We're just out there. And we believe that in order to earn our keep, we have to overwork. And we release those boundaries if we even had any at all. And we work those 50, 60, 70 hour weeks. We take the calls on the evenings. We take the calls on the weekends. We come into the office on the weekend, right? There's just that environment. Corporate culture doesn't value your personal life and your well-being. They want to push more, 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 get done in less time. And you just get really used to overworking and burning out. And that's what causes most people to leave corporate in the first place is that tipping point. But what we don't realize is that becomes a programmed habit, right? Because that is what caused us to survive and succeed in our corporate environment. We go replicate it in our business. And we feel that in order to earn, now again, it's not going to be a salary this time. It's going to be investments that our clients are making in us. But we have this feeling like in order to earn that or deserve that, we have to be doing all of the things. We have to work really hard. We got to put in all these extra hours. We got to work on the weekends. And I'm not saying that when you start your business, you could get off with 10 hours a week and you're going to make $1 million. Obviously, that's not the case. But when you just replicate that bad habit, you're going to put yourself right back into a position where you were the first time when you left corporate. You're going to burn yourself out. You're going to stress yourself out. You're going to leave yourself frustrated, overwhelmed, and not liking your business, right? And so that is a huge habit that we carry with us, and it leads to failure, and it's very detrimental to our business.
I call that's when your business owns you instead of you owning your business, right? I mean,
absolutely.
And I see that all the time. And people don't always think about why they got into business. So a lot of times people say, and as a speaker, I see it all the time. Oh, here's the picture of my kids and my family. That's my why. Now, that's not really a why. That's like, it's kind of a why.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of a why. But the reality really is you have a real why. Like your why could be deeper than that. It could be that you want time freedom so you can spend that time with your family or have some time to yourself or spend some time with your girlfriend without feeling guilty, whatever the case may be. But we always have these deeper whys and not everybody really understands those. I think those are really important questions. But I think one of the things that was huge for me was that I had built all these relationships. And when you're in corporate and you're working alongside somebody every day, sometimes for years as you were building it, you get to know people, right? And you get married, divorced, you have babies, all of these things happen. Every day you come in and you're always sharing, oh, so how are things, you know? And when you're in the lunchroom or going to get something to drink out of the break room or whatever the case may be, you're having conversation with people and you will make good friends. Like I'm not saying that you don't, but I thought one of the things for me, and I've asked people this and I find that I'm not the only person, that when I left, that was all gone because at first you stayed in touch, but after that you didn't have anything in common anymore that was the common denominator that really kept you together, like the glue, so to speak, right? And so pretty soon, as time went on, you kind of lost that. You lost your network, and whether it was for referrals or support, accountability, whatever the case may be, all of a sudden you didn't have that. And that was a real loss. I felt like it was such a loss. I could feel it physically of not having that person that every day I would go into. And it's really kind of amazing to me that when you see people every single day, how much you have to say. And all of a sudden, when you're not there every day, you don't. I mean, it's like, wow, it's kind of crazy. So I feel like emotionally, that can be a setback too, as you realize that that was already there for you. These people were already there. You showed up. They were there. They're sitting next to you in the cubicle next to you or the office next to you, wherever the case may be. All of a sudden, you have to create that for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you quickly learn that you don't have anybody to bounce ideas off of, or you don't have your leader who can help validate your work and say, yeah, you're on the right track, keep going. Or no, I was thinking, do this instead. You miss that, right? Initially, you think, oh, I can't wait till I can go do everything on my own. I don't want anyone telling me what to do. But then you quickly realize, oh, I don't have anybody. I wish someone would just tell me what to do. It's the weirdest paradigm shift ever.
Oh, I think it is too. I think it's kind of a change because now I find that what happens is I have a huge network and I had to build that. But what's interesting is now you have different kinds of meetings and different kinds of things. You're not automatically going to sit next to each other at the company boardroom meeting or whatever. Now, all of a sudden, you have to kind of figure out how are we going to connect in between your clients, my clients, family, like you have all these things. So it's different, but it's so rewarding. And there's not as much, if you do it right, competition, right? You're not going for, you know, there's not like, so the good thing is when you're out on your own, there's infinite opportunities.
Oh yeah.
When you're working for corporate, they may say, oh yeah, these are the three things and you're competing against gosh knows how many people for those three positions. Like you said, the bonus or whatever, you can bonus yourself.
Exactly.
If you do the work, right? Exactly. You know, so you have a lot of things. And so really getting to tap into that and have mentors and being able to have the time to be coached, hire a coach, be a part of a mastermind, whatever the case may be, is very fulfilling and you get to do it on your terms and with the needs that you actually have, not what somebody else decided for you, right? Which is kind of so rewarding. So I feel like what you're doing, this mission of yours is just amazing to be able to help someone make more money with less effort, but in a way that's powerfully authentic to them. I love that phrase, powerfully authentic to them.
Yeah.
That is just beautiful, Kathy.
To me, those are the three things that make up the next level of success for someone leaving corporate. It's like more money, less hours doing it, and the powerfully authentic, because again, you've been operating under someone else's constraints, under someone else's standards. And when you get back to the real you and lead from a position of authenticity, that's where the magic is. That's where the magic is. So more money, less effort, in a way that's powerfully authentic to you. That is the next level of success for corporate women.
Absolutely. So Kathy, thank you so much for being here. I just really have enjoyed every single moment of this. I'm sure that my audience, as they get, oh, wow, this was a little bit different topic and something that I'm sure that they either have gone through, going through, or know someone who is. So how can they connect with you? Because I know they're going to want to.
It's real simple. My website is my name, Kathy Grasset, KathyGrasset.com. You can find everything there.
And we also have made it nice and easy for you. And there's a button below that you can just click on. And Kathy came bearing an amazing gift. So Kathy, tell us a little bit about the gift that you have for everyone.
Sure. It's called The 5 Money Mastery Secrets of the Six-Figure Entrepreneur Who Came from Corporate. And really what it does is it expands on that scarce money mindset that we talked about a little bit earlier. And it connects for you the specific thought that you have had programmed in your mind in corporate and the secret to change that particular belief. And it just gives you 5 really great money mastery secrets to help you shift that money mindset to be a powerful, confident CEO of your own business.
I love that. And here's the part of the show, I like to call it the open mic portion of the show, where this is the Marketing Media Money Podcast. And as if she didn't already share with us some amazing information, what is your number one marketing, media, or money strategy?
Well, with me, even though I'm a business coach and I coach soup to nuts, right, from creating a niche to enrolling clients, it all starts with mindset. It all starts with getting your head in the game. So my number one tip for you is to create a premium business identity. Now, let me explain. So when you operate from your current circumstances, with your current thinking, current behaviors, right, current habits, you get current results. You get the same thing that you're always getting. Okay. So I want you to create an identity in relationship to your business in a way that helps you become who you need to be as that next highest version of yourself, right? It's going to be a version of yourself that's successful, aligned, right? Authentic, and making the money you desire. So who do you want to be? Okay. Do you want to be a $1 million meditation master, badass, high ticket, whole body healer? I don't know, making these things up. Confident, award-winning marketing expert. Okay. And I want you to say out loud every morning, I am, and then fill in the blank and finish that sentence with your premium business identity. And then here's what's important. Day in, day out, as you work your business, I want you to ask yourself, what does that person that you just created in your mind, what does that person believe about this? Whatever you're debating on, whatever decision you have to make, what does that person believe about this? And then I want you to move in a way that's aligned with those new beliefs. Okay. Now they may feel funny. They may feel a little awkward. They may feel completely untrue, and that's totally okay. But here's what happens. When you step into that future mindset and you start to own that identity as your own, what happens is you lead with a new perspective. Okay. You start making far more powerful decisions and you start pursuing your goals more boldly. And then your brain starts focusing you, directing you to the people and experiences that support that identity. Okay. And then operating from your future desired circumstances, okay, with that future thinking and those future behaviors will get you the new future incredible results. So create that premium business identity and operate as that person starting today.
Oh, I love that. That is fabulous. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you so much, Kathy, for being here on the show today. I really appreciate having you.
You're welcome. It was such fun talking to you.
And to my audience, thank you so much for joining us on the Marketing Media Money Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, and I'm sure you did, please subscribe and review the podcast on your favorite listening platform. And make sure to check out our sister publication, the Marketing Media and Money Magazine, at www.marketingmediamoney.com. And while I'm thanking, I can't leave the show without thanking my amazing sponsor, Meg Schmidt, founder of Take the Leap Franchise Consulting Company. The franchise industry is booming as people look to diversify their income streams with essential businesses without having to quit their day job. To learn more, go to www.megschmitz.com. The conversation is free, but the insights are priceless. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a phenomenal week. We'll see you again next week.
Thank you for joining us today on the Marketing, Media, and Money podcast. To shorten your learning curve even more, make sure to grab your free copy of the Marketing, Media, and Money magazine at www.marketingmediamoney.com. I promise your business will thank you.